Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast post-trade pre-draft. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain and joining me is a man who has bludged his way through concussion testing. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day Michael. What do you mean by that? What makes you say that?
Well, we obviously do concussion testing at the start of the year to kind of see how
we're
progressing
to
to
set a level, so in case we get concussed during an episode,
yeah,
we know whether or not we can continue on with the show.
And I just think it's pretty obvious that you've been performing worse on the test than you normally would, just to kind of be able to skate through. Because clearly, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you're not right, mate.
No, I've not fudged anything. This is me at my best.
Dude,
I don't know what you're getting at.
Dude, on the test it says 1+1. You wrote cat. Okay. You're not right. I'm looking you in the eye right now. you're not right.
Which one are you looking at?
The one pointing left.
Okay. Mate, I never cheat on those things. You ask me any question, mate, and I will get them 100% right.
Will Carlton make finals next year?
I would say so.
Oh, you're not right, mate. Not right. You've got to lie down. Should we stop recording now so you can have a lie down?
I think with the list that we're building and with David Teague, I mean, we have now got the capacity to clearly be a top six team.
Is Steve Silvani the greatest list manager in the competition?
I mean, it's probably too early to say, is there a list managing Hall of Fame? Because if there is, he's put together a grand final team this year and he is building a Carlton side for sustained success. So, again, I'd have to say, yes, he is the greatest of all time.
Adam, I don't know. Well, I think we need to pull the pin right now. You clearly need to go and have a lie down.
Well, I can't. If I am concussed, mate, I can't do anything. I've got to sit in a darkened room and just lay still.
We are talking about Paddy McCartan, right? Who's now taking a break from the game.
Which is really sad.
Yeah, and I would say it's a permanent break now.
Yeah, you can't imagine him coming back. Because even if he does start to feel right, you just go, don't put yourself back in that fucking position, mate.
Yeah. No, it's very unfortunate. I think I read it was 9 concussions, maybe 11 concussions over the journey.
Yeah.
And even a bit like our friend Jack Frost, who came on last year. I was talking to a St Kilda friend who said that the final bump was a bit innocuous too. Like it wasn't a big, crash and bang, you're knocked unconscious for 5 minutes. And that was the same thing with Jack. He kind of just got a bit of a hip. And he was like, well, that's it. I'm done.
So McCartan said that he bludged his way through preseason concussion testing. Mm. So it would be easier for him to get back out there. So he kind of went in going, well, I'm going to get concussed.
Mm.
But I'm going to make it that look like I'm so stupid preseason that when the time comes that I actually am stupid, that it's going to all marry up and I'll go, I think he's right to go.
Well, was he actually bludgeoning his way through or was he actually concussed at the time that he did it anyway?
Wow.
It seems to be pretty common that he got knocked out. So he just did it when he's concussed and then so he comes back and he's concussed and he's like, oh, I'll nail this one.
Yeah, like someone's thrown him the clipboard, it's hit him in the head. He doesn't realise that's concussed him.
This is a question without notice, but do you know what kind of stuff is on the concussion tests? It's not about matching shapes and stuff like that, or
that is a great question. Let me have a quick Google of that. I think it is about it's like name. I'll say to you a series of numbers, say 6 numbers, and
you have to say
them back to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it's like count backwards and all that kind of jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you find it funny like this when they go like do the alphabet backwards?
Oh,
and they go, fucked that up. It's like, who gets that right straight away?
Yeah, I'm struggling to do that now. I know, I can give you Z. Like I can give you Z and then I've got to work from A through to Y and then I'm I'm hitting you with an X after that. It's going to take me a while, mate. That's where the 20 minutes is taken up of you just going, hang on, A, B, C, C, so B, I'm back to B. And then you get to A and they're like, back you go, son. Well done.
But Paddy talks about how he talked about during the season that he, even things like going to the supermarket, kind of with the bright lights were affecting him. And he said you almost have to kind of retrain parts of your brain to get yourself back to normal. So it's almost like for the sake of himself, like, dude, please don't play football again.
Yeah, you don't want that. Or else, does he need to go and get, like, calf's brain injections? You know, is there a German specialist?
Head to Germany.
Yeah, and just go to Dr. Wilhard. What was his name? Wolfhart? Dr. Muller? Whatever his name was.
Wolfhart sounds appropriately sinister for a German doctor.
Head over there. Get yourself a Lars brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it.
He's back out there first round next year with fucking brand new Paddy McCartan.
And he maybe just wear a double helmet too, just be on the safe side.
What about if he wears, because remember, now this is going to test many of our listeners, but Phil Narkel had the biggest helmet that I think we've seen in AFL. He played for St Kilda in the early 80s, I'm going to say.
Yep.
And his was like almost like a softer motorbike helmet, I would put it at.
Yeah, I have a feeling that maybe Brian Wilson at Fitzroy, he might have done the same thing as well.
I don't think it was as big. I remember, because what you're looking at, that's the thing about most helmets, is it's just a little bit of foam. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're getting concussed in the NFL, and they're wearing proper fucking helmets.
Yeah,
so
true.
What we actually go out and you go, it's not really going to do you much.
Hey, everyone's back at training, mate.
How exciting is it to see the first and four-year players? You know what I love, though, Michael? You see, the first and four, it's compulsory. They've got to go back. But sometimes a veteran will just rock up and you just go, how sad is their life? They're not still on holidays. They've gone, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to go back to work.
I do love it. They headed back and people like Buddy showed up on day one. And they raved about that. The news media really doesn't have much to talk about, do they? But they have to kind of report on who's actually back at training.
Eddie Betts, he doesn't need to be there. The guy's 32.
Did he show up, did he?
Oh, fuck yeah.
And so it's really just a case of like, see that guy running laps.
Mm.
He's going to be doing that for the next 10 months.
Yeah, Buddy.
Back
in
to
Buddy's
you.
Case. It's a good idea. Buddy, they just went, mate, we're going to be paying you for something.
Yeah, well, I think someone said that Buddy would do the first week because he'd then have the second week off. So you don't have to kind of, you know, do as many. But I think Jacinta is rather pregnant now. So he probably doesn't want to go away or anything like that. Or take, you know, we would stay in town in case we get a little Buddy. Oh,
all right, quick question without notice. Would you miss a training session for the birth of your child?
Nah, I actually...
you've got to go to training.
Yeah, you'd delist someone if they if they put something like that in front of them.
Well, they could miss a tactical meeting. So they don't know how to bring the ball out of the back line.
Yeah, for sure.
They're watching a childbirth. You're like, what sort of... Are you committed or not? You're not. Get out of here.
They are that 100-100s. You know, that's the difference in September, in that last quarter in the grand final.
You know, that's what I miss. I miss players. Could you imagine running 100-100s?
I can't. Let me think what it would be. It's 10Ks.
That's 10Ks, yeah. But at a fair clip. That would be quite a difficult. And that was back in the day when it was like middle of summer. And if you have a drink, you weak fucking dog, you're out of the fucking team. So these people are vomiting and blacking out. And they're rolling their bodies down the last 100.
What's the other one?
That's what I want to say.
10 400s or something like that.
Yeah, I think. I think that was another one. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, no water. And you know, that's imagine the 10th one, dude.
Is it? Probably not yet. They sort of come back and then they have another break and that's when they do the heavy duty stuff, isn't it? That's when you go to your heat camps. That's when you hit the sand dunes.
Yeah.
That's when you go on a preseason camp that ruins your team for two seasons.
Yeah, you dredge up deep, dark secrets about players.
Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, symbolic things, yeah.
Yeah, that's your January kind of thing, isn't it?
Do you reckon the Giants are going to be playing the Richmond theme song on a bus anytime soon?
I would say so. I mean, it's worked so well for Adelaide that I think that set a precedent that you go, we have to follow their lead.
Do you think Collective Mind is still doing well? Are they doing very well? Were they doing very well and now they're doing just well? Because surely, I mean, I know they did a lot of the corporate world and stuff like that and other sports teams.
Yeah.
Do you think when people heard about that their brand was damaged a bit, Adam?
I would like to think not. I would like to think that there are some people out there who go, you know what? I need my workplace shaken up. And mm-hmm. I need Terry from accounts to fucking, you know what? He's been too cocky for too long. He's just handing in his forms and he's just going, mate, I've nailed it. And you go, well, we'll see about that, Terry. Yeah, we'll see what you're, yeah, when we talk about what your grandfather did.
Talk about your fucking past, mate.
Yeah. Bring that up. See how your fucking accounts are going then, Tez.
Do you reckon we should get Collective Mind in then? Should we do a camp over the Christmas period? Like get Collective Mind in and talk about some home truths?
That's not a bad idea.
I mean,
just you and I. Because there's out in the bush.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things, a few secrets about your mum I could reveal.
How do you reckon Joe Danaher would be returning to Essendon?
It'd be horrible. It'd be horrible. So what do you do? He's not fourth year, so he's got a bit longer to go. So you walk through that front door.
So everyone else would be back, I assume, by the time that Joe gets back. So it's not just first and fourth year players.
It's
everyone's back, and they go, oh, here comes old fucking Captain Sydney Harbour Bridge coming in.
It's a little bit like George from Seinfeld, you know, when he quits and then he has to go back and just kind of pretend that he didn't quit. It's a bit like that. Yeah. It's like someone breaking up and saying, you know, fuck you, I never was seeing you ever again. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but they've got a pretty good place. And so you got to wander back in. I don't know. I actually don't know how players could deal with that kind of stuff. I think, are they like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a business, you know. Yeah, you want to move around.
Well, I do think that is the way. And I reckon also in the back of his mind, because he becomes a free agent at the end of next year, he's like, I'll be in Sydney anyway. Mm. Just like Bryce Gibbs, he had to stick around at Carlton. Carlton were like, we will not let him go because we need him to be 17.
Yeah.
And then the following year, they went, ah, fuck it, let's just get rid of him. Adelaide had given us two first-round picks for him.
It turned out, remember that Tom Harley story when Joe Danaher turned up at Tom Harley's place?
Yeah.
Turns out,
he was just a mentor.
Yeah, I know, he was just a mentor. But it turns out, I think it was Tomlinson from GWS, I think it was.
I saw him, yeah.
Lived in the same area. And so he
saw Balmain.
A guy who's about 7'12" with a hoodie and a hat on walking into Tom Harley's place. And he's like, wait a second. So he's kind of the deep throat of the whole situation. He started it.
Well, he told him.
He's
told
the whistleblower.
He should not be allowed to play again. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's going to be people like that who,
rat.
You know, yeah, that's basically it, isn't it? Do you reckon that's why GWS let him go? Because they're like, well, who knows what he's going to tell about us?
Yeah, sure. What random footballers in real life he's going to see in the streets of Sydney.
Yeah, it's not for footballers to do. Footballers in real life.
No.
It's for us and our people to do footballers in real life.
And then it kind of went from there. There was even a thing that I think it was maybe Joe's management, I think, put out a statement during that trade period saying that he wanted to move to Swans, and the Swans were like, oh, do you?
Yeah.
Like everyone's on the back foot taking it back.
It was all done very poorly, and Essendon notoriously don't deal with people very well. So they just went, well, fuck that. Because I think Essendon went, well, give us Isaac Heaney.
Yeah.
And Swans went, no, not having Isaac Heaney. No, yeah. What about Blakey? They go, oh, no, you're not having. You go, well, do you want Joe Danaher or not?
Well, yeah, it was kind of set up though for the Swans' favour by the fact Joe wanted to go there, and so they're like, well, that's our win, okay? And then they're like, hoping we don't have to give up too much. And in the end, they didn't want to give up anything at all. Well, you know, mate, a pick seven or something, or whatever it was.
You got to give it up, mate.
Yeah, you do.
You know who would have got the job done? Fucking Stevie Silvani, best list manager in the country.
Oh, who? I tell you, would have got the deal done. Fucking Pickers, mate. Pickers would have been all over it.
Well, he would have been blindsided.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. In fact,
you want to go where?
Yeah. Joe, what? What's this Sydney town you talk of? I don't know.
I've never heard of him.
Hey, Carlton are dirty cheats. Dirty fucking cheats. Did you know that?
Well, which era are you talking about?
You're filthy, dirty cheats. So, yeah, there are a few fines handed out by the AFL because clubs...
And we were number one.
You were. The article talked it up a bit. They said they were massive fines, but they weren't. I think you got fined about $10,000 because you were not letting the drug people know where your players were.
Is it a matter of not letting them know or just not knowing where the player was? Like, did they go, where's Charlie Kerner? And Carlton went, we refuse to divulge that.
Yeah, okay.
Or was it like, where's Charlie Kerner? And they're like, he forgot to tell us. We don't know where he is. We sent him a text. We haven't heard back. Like, is it like that? Is it more sinister? Like, they're, hidden him away after, you know, and, you know, we're not casting aspersions. I'm just using him as an example.
Cast away.
You know, he spent 6 weeks in a Colombian jungle.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, got into, well, yeah, that's weird. He's in Medellin. That's strange. I mean, obviously, they don't have to worry about Jack Watts in the off-season because it's just like, oh, Oktoberfest. But I think the onus would then be more on the players, and they would be the ones copping the fine if they weren't the ones informing, okay? But I do also wonder, is it really a case of, you know, I'm in Townsville on a holiday and I go, oh, I might go to Cairns for the day, you know, as you do.
Do you have to do the whole whereabouts?
Do you have to then inform people all the time? Because, I mean, surely things are going to slip through. You're not, hardly going to remember... Okay, I've got my wallet, I've got my keys, I've got my phone. I better text WADA and let them know where I'm going.
Or is there like, do the players have like a WADA app, like a Find My iPhone app, so they know where they are at all times?
That's a good question. And,
okay, all right, say you're backpacking through Patagonia, right?
I wouldn't be backpacking, mate. I'd be doing it in style.
Okay, well, you'd be doing it in style. So you've hired yourself a little. What do you call it? RV?
Gotcha. RV. Where are we? Patagonia.
Patagonia. So you're in southern Argentina.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's where you've been, right?
Yes. So say you go. I'm in Calafate, right? That's a town there. Does that mean okay? You've let them know. Does that mean that WADA sends someone there?
Well, I think it's more a precaution. So they do want. I wonder how many times they do surprise footballers when they're overseas. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine it's a high priority, surely.
But I reckon, what a great job to be if you're working for WADA in the off-season. Fucking, you're going, you'd be in Bali 24-7 for about 4 months.
It'd be like a permanent Kentucky, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're at fucking Lakers games, you're going to watch the Giants, the Cowboys. It'd be fucking great. I want a job at WADA.
The only downside, though, is you have to just constantly watching men and women urinate. Like, up
oh, that's
close,
a downside.
Looking them in the eye, but no, you wouldn't be doing your job properly then, would you?
No, exactly. That's how Willie Rioli tried to cheat the system. Yeah, exactly. But you know, some people pay to do that stuff online, Michael, so they could get the bonus of getting, you know, watching great physical specimens give away a physical specimen.
Melbourne got done as well as the Bulldogs and Richmond.
I think they should name the players. That's what we really want. I don't want, because you know. You say four Carlton players, so it was a $2,500 fine for each player. There was four of them. I need to know which four have just gone to the top of my list.
Yeah, who are on the dodge.
Yeah.
I like the idea that you attempt to fake your own death or something just to get out of
it. It's not a bad way to get out of it.
Hey, very quickly though, have they picked up Dusty's car yet?
I don't believe they have. He hasn't had time, Michael. He's been either in Vegas or he was in Deniliquin for Sam Lloyd, former teammates, our wedding.
That's right. And shock horror, Adam, he wore jeans and a t-shirt. That was an article in the Herald Sun. They really have struggled for things to write about. He shot it. And then he didn't stay at the caravan park. He got a guy to drive him there and he got a guy to drive him back. He's a crazy man.
He got a driver.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a driver to do his job.
Yeah, yeah. And I think looking from Melbourne, probably, what, 4 hours?
Yeah, maybe? 3.5, 4 hours, yeah.
But he left the car in the car park. It ended up being feeling like about a month. The MCG was saying, yeah, it's here when you know, get it. I went down to try and nick it, but then I remembered Dusty's dad and friends and the like. I was like, oh, better not do that.
Might leave the car here.
But then I was listening to Triple M last week, I think it was, and they were saying that it might have been a bit of a PR stunt, that it wasn't kind of as long as people were saying, and it was a bit of like, oh, get the message out there that, you know, he can't be tamed.
Oh, he can't be tamed because he won't pick up his car.
Yeah, ooh, I mean, I know.
Fucking, what a loose cannon.
There is a better way to get that story out. It's just like, yeah, Dusty stabbed two guys in Vegas and then drank their blood.
Yeah, exactly. I'd buy that. But also left his car at the hotel.
Hey, Steve Silvani, a lot of Carlton actually this week, unfortunately.
Hang on, the greatest list manager of all time. What
he
you got on
seems
here?
To be on the outer, mate.
Yeah.
Seems to be on the outer. Seems to be a bit of a power struggle down at the Blues. I think they were talking about the CEO is kind of putting his foot down.
Kane Liddell.
Mm. Have you met him?
I believe. I've said g'day to him, but I don't know him.
He said fuck off back.
Mate, we were sitting in the same section at the football. I'm hobnobbing with all the... It was funny. I was talking to a junk time listener, Andy, who won the Junk Time Tipping this year, actually.
Oh, congratulations.
And he was saying, you know, we're just having a chat about Junk Time, and he said, oh, it's very funny when you always, you know, hang shit on Michael about being in the MCC and stuff. But he goes, but every time you do that, you're always in like a corporate box or, you know, at some function at the footy. And I was like, shut the fuck up, mate. Get out of my face.
Yeah, you go corporate way more than I do.
Yeah, but you don't need corporate, mate. You've got
butlers and red carpet.
You got heritage. Foie gras. I don't have that. Yeah, exactly.
I've got. but yeah, so Sauce on the way. Do you think he's been doing a good job?
Yes, I do. I actually like. There's been some, you know, rough patches that we've had to go through, but mm-hmm. I think the list is actually starting to look like it could.
Green shoots, you know, mate. Green shoots.
Well, it's starting to do something, but the,
sure.
I think
can you just do a quick concussion test, if that's okay?
The issue has been that I don't think Sauce wanted Eddie Betts. I think David Teague went, hey, I'm coach. I want my mate. Okay. I want my mate from Adelaide. And also, there was talk that we were going to get Xavier Ellis from... No, what's his name?
Brandon.
Brandon Ellis from Richmond.
Yeah, I don't think you want Xavier Ellis in the condition he's in right now.
No, that's... Well, we would have taken him 2 years ago. But... he had toured the Carlton facilities and then Carlton went cold on him like very, very late. And I think Kane Liddell, who's former Richmond, wanted Ellis at the team. And then I think Sauce overruled that. And so that has caused conjecture within the club. And they've gone, something's got to give, mate. Something. And I think it's Sauce that's going to give.
But didn't you hear, though, that I think it was Ellis and who else was it? Was it Papley?
Butler.
Butler, okay.
Who ended up at St Kilda, I think.
Got a tour of Icon Park.
Mm.
And Sauce didn't know.
Yes, that's the parent. I can't believe that.
So was he kind of then out of the loop on their interests at all? Or was that just like the idea of a tour? Because it's not a big deal if they give a tour. Like, if Sauce meant to take them around. Did he feel like it was like, you know, his little job? Like, he felt insulted. Like, oh, but we, you know, didn't show them the best bits. I'm an expert. I've been here for 30 years.
Yeah, I could have shown him that bit where Darren Milburn knocked me out in the back pocket.
Yeah,
I could have shown him where the
cops told him to settle down on the interchange bench when the fans were going to kill him.
I could show them where Greg Williams got paid $200,000 in cash. I could show them that bit of the ground.
I could show that bit where Wayne Johnson probably did something in the social club. I'm not saying. So it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird, that stuff.
Yeah, I find it very strange. I mean, I can understand David Teague pulling rank, even though we don't really need a 32-year-old in our club. But as long as Sauce does this draft and we're still tracking in the right direction, but fuck, why can't everyone just get along?
It's also interesting by the fact that when you're a list manager, there's not really much room for career development post-football. Like, you don't go off into other areas and be list manager. So there are only 18 jobs for that. And you can't go into the media because we already have a list manager.
Yeah.
In terms of Terry Wallace. So we can't... But yeah, like, you know, how do you bring those skills into, you know, outside football? Headhunting, maybe? I don't know.
I can't see Sauce
going into the corporate world and doing job interviews.
No, but say you're the head of KPMG, for example, right? Yeah. So then you go to all the private schools in the area and you just oversee the economics exams in year 12, like the combine. And he goes, oh, that kid there, he's straight to KPMG.
His dad works already too, so that helps out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a gun. He's done a really offensive chant on the tram. So he deserves to be in a high-paying...
Yeah, that guy has not one ounce of respect for women. We should get him on board.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a prodigy.
He's management material.
The fixture. Have you cast your eye over the fixture?
You know what? I genuinely haven't. I know we're playing Richmond, and I know we have zero Friday night games, but not surprised by that because... we have been fucking rubbish.
I'm going to look at the fixture here. So Champion Data have... I must say, I haven't really looked through it. I do love it when it comes out and people are like, oh, that's a bloody disgrace. Oh, bloody hell, we've got to travel like 5 times in the first 5 rounds.
Yeah.
How many...
You would know how many Tassie games you've got?
I think we have 4 each year, yeah.
Okay.
You are number 11th in terms of how hard it is. Okay.
So who's got the easiest?
St Kilda.
Really? So they're going to be top six? Should be.
On top from hardest, it's Collingwood and Hawthorn. But do you think often sometimes maybe with the Collingwood one, because they're the big marquee ones, they play the big teams
twice
a bit more than, you know what I'm getting at?
So do you, they obviously don't have Gold Coast twice is probably what would have them up there?
I suppose so, yeah. Here we go. Double ups we have for them. We have Richmond, Melbourne, Eagles, Essendon, Bulldogs. Okay. Well, yeah,
it's not unreasonable. But also, doesn't, as Eddie does point out, and it's probably rightly so, every team would want to play Collingwood twice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You get the marquee ones. And you can also, like, some clubs can be victim of your own rivalries too, you know? So there's there's a Collingwood Richmond rivalry, you know.
Yeah.
And so
okay.
Therefore they go, we want to take advantage of that tight. Like Hawthorn always plays Geelong twice because, you know, all that kind of stuff caught on.
It's a big game. Well, yeah, and I guess that would work would have worked in the last couple of years in Richmond's favour. They definitely get to play Carlton twice, so they go, well, there's 8 bankable points. So it kind of can work in your favour as well, which is disgusting.
And about 25 percentage points too.
But Port Adelaide, mate, the things are changing at Port Adelaide.
I tell you what, mate, it's a whole new club in my book.
Yeah, would you say that this is, I know it's...
A rebirth?
They're saying it's their 150th, but I'd say it's year zero for the Port Power.
I think we rhyme back the clock and we start again. Yeah, I think it's about time as well.
So they've got a new logo.
They've got a new logo. They turn 150 next year, so they're going to put a new commemorative logo on their jumpers. Whoa.
And what a great logo. It combines the P and the A. And I tell you what, this is like 149 years in the making, this logo. They would have sat there in, say, 150 years ago, in 1870-ish, and gone, guys, I know it's a few generations in front, but we need to start working away at this 150th anniversary logo. And they've gone, all right, I'll get my great-great-great-great-grandson onto it, but it's going to happen. And fucking hell, have they delivered?
It's kind of like we've gone from black and white to colour now, isn't it?
It's a new dawn. Is
it too early off the back of this new logo to say that Port Adelaide's going to win next year's flag?
I think they do it for the logo.
I think
it just unites. It's got a P that is interlaced with the A.
Yeah, I know.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, I was shocked as well. Like when I first saw it, I thought it was a bold move. That's what I'll put it out there. But I think it's working for them.
Well, also underneath that, it's got the old prison bars that they, you know, that they famously wore as the Magpies in the Sandful, which they, you know, are regularly not allowed to wear in the AFL because they are now an AFL club, but they still want to represent the, you know, 130 years that they spent as the Sandful, you know, leaders.
Do we know where that's at? Like whether they're going to wear it next year or anything like that?
Well, in the photo they've got on this article, they've got Scott Lysette is wearing it. And so that would indicate to me that they're planning on wearing it quite a bit. And then they've got Trent McKenzie in what looks like a light blue Geelong jumper.
Yeah, sure. That must have been a real old school one that they had. And then they've got, it must be a fan with some kind of... special disease or something? Is a special thing that they're helping? Oh, no, it's Koshy.
Yep.
And then Sutcliffe. But did you read about their media advice, I suppose you'd call it?
Yeah.
So here's a little thing they came out with, kind of, I suppose, the way they want to be addressed this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and we, Junk Timers, respect this. Just as the Giants wanted to be known as the Giants, and we... we'll only acknowledge them as such, then this is a new way that we have to refer to the Port Adelaide Football Club from here on in.
So it says, please note, under no circumstances...
None.
...should the club be referred to as Port...
Yep.
...or... Port Power!
Yep, all capitals, Port Power.
...or... The Power!
Fuck. Okay, so they've set those down, those guidelines.
Okay, no Port.
No Port. No Port Power or the Power. Gone. Forget it.
I'm never going to utter those words ever again.
Wiped it. That's 150 years. Fucking gone. Forget it.
So never if we again. Can't call them, and I apologize for using this word, can't call them Port, do we call them Power?
Well, it says, mate, keep reading, and okay. It tells you how you can refer to them. Fuck.
Okay. Okay. No port, or port power, or the power. Right. Although, the club.
Very importantly, can.
I wonder what the people next door in Wayne Jack's at Rod Cutter Studios are thinking. If they can hear me. There's a guy just shouting, power. What's he saying before that? Check the web. What's he saying before power?
Is it about Origin Energy? Is there something wrong with his power?
Although the club can be referred to as.
Here we go.
The.
Yeah.
Power!
So little the.
The.
Capital power!
Power!
So if you're at the game, power fan. The power fans, you need to know. Don't fuck it up. You'll be booted out of
booted
the group.
Booted out,
you go,
yeah.
The, come on, Port. Oh, whoa. What are you doing, mate? This is 2020, not 2019, you fuckhead.
Look at that fucking logo on my new jumper, mate. What's that mean to you?
Yeah.
It means that we are here to support the power.
Yeah. I think it's simple. I don't see what... I just...
Do you think they do that on the scoreboard? They're like, if you hear any fans chanting incorrectly, send the text message, and then you got to text them what they're doing it, and so you got to do little T-H-E and then a big P-O. Oh, no, that's the right one, yeah. But you got to playing havoc with doing capitals and stuff like that.
Oh, I'll give people... we'll give them a grace period of, say, the JLT series to get it incorrect. But once round one hits and you see Jack Watts streaming down your middle and you nailing a goal from 65, as is Jack Watts' want, then you need to go with, let's go, the power. The
power.
And or that the, is all you
remember
can
that
do.
People talk about how they call them the pair?
Yeah, why were they the pair?
Yeah, well, kind of like it was like almost like a lazy way to say port power or whatever. Port Adelaide, yeah.
Well, that's not even mentioned here, so I wouldn't even go fucking.
It's forgotten about. Yeah. Because it's 150, mate. It's 2020.
Yeah.
Big news out of China, Adam.
What do we got?
The TV ratings for the grand final came in.
Oh, is that right? Mm. They came in. I was waiting for those. I missed them.
Because I don't know if we talked about this, because the day after the grand final, the AFL, they have no interest in what Channel 7's ratings were. They don't give a shit. Yeah, they don't look up Foxtel or anything like that. Doesn't bother them. Because why would they? What they really want are the figures coming out of China.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, they take about a month to come out, or to get written about anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It was cigars and caviar and champagne at AFL House when the news
came in. Celebrations all around. What do we got? How many?
5.67 million people.
Is that right?
Watch the game in China.
And that sounds like one pub.
And 5.67 million switched off halfway through the second quarter.
I did a quick calculation of that. That is 0.5% of China's total population.
But isn't that amazing? That's still about double what the actual game got in Australia.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that shows the size of the place, which shows why you want to get in there, don't you? You know, because there are so many people there.
Well, I guess so. But in terms, I don't know. Do you look at it in terms of percentage or in terms of just numbers of people? Like, how many Australian bars are there with it on? If it's on in a pub, how many does that get you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't think they would count those figures either. Like, the TV ratings would only go...
it's more?
Well, I think the people... I think that only... I'm not au fait with the Chinese television rating system. But I figure it would be, you know, similar to the black box things that we have. And so, I mean, in the official figures, like, pubs don't count. And, like, you know, your party at your house, what, you had, like, 8 people or whatever?
Oh, it was about 800,000. It's a big party. It's very popular.
They don't count that. So, I mean...
true. It's just one screen.
There would be a figure to kind of, you know, adjust it. So, yeah, TV ratings say 2.8. But when you take into account parties, pubs, you can go, oh, okay, it would have been about 3.5 or whatever.
So, what we're saying is the grand final should be in China before the end of the next decade.
I think so. It's obviously... That's where the people want it to be. More people watching the game over in China than watching the game here. It's a no-brainer for me.
You can't argue with facts.
And our grand final show afterwards. Mate, we'll get about 3,000 people at it.
Yeah, that'd be fucking fantastic. It's going to be expensive, But I think it will be worth it to get Richard Di Natale dropping in to our live show in Shanghai.
So obviously, it's the great reason why St Kilda play there and why the
Power
play there.
Exactly. It makes sense.
Big news out of the US, mate. We had the US AFL Championships over there. What do they call it? Austin Crows took on the
Chocolates. Austin Crows. Yeah, they've gone back to back.
So Mason Cox's brother plays for them. Mm-hmm. He's only a measly 6.5 foot, but he does have a basketball background. I just thought I'd point
that out. Is
that
right?
He does, fuck, yeah.
Find a lot of time and space. Wouldn't they all have basketball backgrounds over there?
Well, you know what happened? No. They actually sent over umpires as well. Like, it's a big thing. So they sent over a bunch of... The one's name that I recognised was Razor Ray.
So, and Shane McInerney was another one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had it over there. So think about this. You come from all around the country. You're looking for having a great little weekend of, you know, I imagine a little kind of Lightning Premiership kind of matches, I think. I'm not totally sure, but I would think.
No, it would be. Yeah, you're getting down to South Florida, a bit of beach, bit of sun.
And then you wander out on the field and you got fucking Razor Ray right there. And you go, oh, shit, I didn't spend all this money to fucking hang out with Razor Ray.
Although, how good, as an American who's, you know, new to this game, to be able to abuse...
That'd be cool.
...one of Australia's most hated umpires, to get that opportunity... is a fantastic thing for Razor Ray to provide himself to
and
do.
It's actually not common. It's not common, really, for Americans to use the word cunt, but I think I would use it all the time, and it's like, it just came out of me. It just, just felt like the appropriate word to say.
And I never called anyone low dog before that, but I tell you what, Razor, thank you.
On the topic of America, should we do a couple of footballers in real life?
Yeah, let's hit it.
We got this one from Rich. Rich is an old friend of the show. He was on the show maybe about 2016 or so.
Yeah.
Colorado kind of area. He just kind of got into the game and he came out with his partner, Tanner, who came on the show as well, and just kind of fell in love with football. And so went to about 3-4 games that weekend. Was loving it.
And he's a Geelong fan from memory?
He had a few. He did go down to Cadinia Park, but he had a few teams. Yep. He might have picked one by now, like he'd singled down to one. But big hello to Rich as well, if you are listening. Guys, I never thought I would actually have a football in real life experience in the USA. But today, my wife and I were in the Delta Airlines Sky Lounge. Oh, hello. At LA International. Come on,
hello.
Rich. In brackets, we're doing very well.
Clearly.
And who did I happen to see as we were exiting but Marcus Bontempelli?
The Bont.
He was seated wearing a Minnesota Vikings t-shirt, and then he got up and stretched. Good work in Bont. And walked in the direction of the bar. Oh, bad work, Bont.
Direction of, though. He may have been ordering a soda.
I didn't see whether he ordered anything as we had to go and leave and catch our plane to Denver. That's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Do you reckon, I mean, and if Rich and Tanner wandered up to him, said, you know, we recognize you and you're a fan, like, that would freak you out, wouldn't it? Like, you'd be like, how the hell do you know me?
Particularly an American, yeah. It would be quite surprising. I'm also genuinely surprised at the teams that these players pick. The Minnesota Vikings is a very, very random team for someone, I think, to support. They haven't been particularly great over the last, like... Well, particularly in Bont's lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I find it, I'm fascinated by, the teams that they all go for.
Find that there's, just from the pictures, doesn't necessarily mean they barrack for the teams, but I find that there's a lot of Patriots, a lot of New York Giants, kind of. I suppose that's the towns they might want to go to as well.
But also, like, Lakers.
Yeah, they're all Lakers, aren't they?
Was it Spurs for a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland when LeBron was winning championships there. They're fucking
bandwagoners, aren't they?
They really are.
But yeah, maybe some of the teams, like, you know, like if you're a long-suffering Carlton player and you'd be like, I just want to hang around. I just want to break for a winner.
That's fair enough. I don't see anyone wearing fucking Jacksonville Jaguars tops.
Yeah. Okay, from Adrian. Hope you both come back to training with your best ever skin folds and hitting PBs in the time trial. This morning, as I was leaving the Dundas and Fawcett Cafe in Albert Park, I spotted ex-Sydney Swans coach and Fitzroy legend Paul Ruse, friend of the show.
Rosie, here we go.
He was having breakfast with two other people. I thought the woman with him was Tammy, but after a quick Google, I decided that woman doesn't actually look like Tammy. Okay. Not sure what he was having for breakfast because he had only just opened the menu. He looked relaxed and happy to be out and about.
Okay.
P.S. Dundas and Fawcett Cafe is across the street from the AFL Players Association HQ, which is why spotting players in real life there is like shooting fish in a barrel. Oh, you lads should head down there and one day see who you can spot. Hey, maybe that's a date we can go on, Adam. When I come down to Melbourne, we can go down to the cafe.
The Dundas and Fawcett Cafe, that's a fantastic idea. Hopefully we can run into the head of the AFL PA, which is Paddy Dangerfield. See, if we take our equipment down, we can go, Paddy, quick. Do you want to do a quick junk time?
Yeah,
and be like, quick chat. Can you two fuck off?
Yeah, we're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAFLPod at Gmail. We're JunkTimeAFLPod on Twitter and Facebook and the gram. We're going to be back shortly with our draft preview with a friend of the show, Craig Coombs, which is one of our favourite episodes of the year. So we can't wait for that. That's going to be just a few days before the draft is announced. I think it's November 23 when the actual draft happens.
Yeah.
We're going to see you then. Go Hawks.
Go Blue.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.